Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here this morning. And Lord, we just know that we're getting ourselves ready. As you said, the bride has made herself ready because we've conformed to thy word. So we ask you to be with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we have a thought this morning. And we're going to continue in the study of Satan's Eden. But actually, we're going to divert a little bit and actually bring some quotes in from a couple other sermons. But it's in the same topic because we're at the end time. And the only way that we know that we're not deceived is by what we understand. Because the false anointed ones can do exactly, looks like, you know, the truth. So anyway, and we'll begin by looking at a statement that William Branham made in his sermon, The Masterpiece, and we'll read from paragraph 71. Now he said from The Masterpiece, so perfected, a redeemer of man, so perfect, so godly, yet there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now, the word godly means godlike, okay? And of course, he was actually made in the image of his father. All right? That's Hebrews 1. Now, when this virgin-born son of the living God becomes so perfect, notice, become so perfect. He wasn't born perfect. He become so perfect and humble and in the image of God, until the great master who had brought his life up through the prophets, and he was a fulfilling of all the prophets, he was so perfect until God, seeing this, he smote him and has cried out, speak, as Michelangelo did, speak. Now, before we proceed any further, I want to bring out a few small points from the statement that he said in paragraph 71 concerning the Son of God. In describing the Son of God, William Branham said, so perfected, a redeemer of God, a redeemer of man, so godly, yet there was no beauty that we should desire him. Now, notice the words again. So perfected. That means he wasn't perfect, but he became perfect. Okay? In other words, something happened and he became more so. Okay? Now, you can't be perfected if you are already that way, and you are God, and you change not. Because Malachi 3:6 says, I am God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, that's God. You know, remember, he comes in his Father's name. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? But as I said, if you understand the Godhead correctly, the way God's prophet did, then you will understand that there's only one that is perfect, and that is God. Therefore, these are in quotes from Brother Bram. God, the Son of God, became perfect when God entered him. For he is our perfection. Now, another thing that he said in speaking of the Son of God, Brother Bram said he was so godly. Now, godly means piety, which is characterized by a Godward attitude and is expressed in that the actions are God-centered and for the purpose of pleasing God. Now, I pray, my greatest prayer is for all of us to be so godly that when people see us, they actually see Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, in the natural man, we do make mistakes, okay? I'm talking about our soul, our desires. It's all about the Word. Like Brother Bram said, my only desire is for his word. Now that describes Jesus, the Son of God, very well. Because he said in John 4:34, my meat, in other words, my energy, my source of energy, is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. I hope that every one of us can say the same thing. My source of energy is to please my Father, okay? And Jesus also said in John 8:29, he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, I know that we don't always do things that please him, but we should. Well, we should try anyway. But sometimes, you know, it's a matter of you doing something that you think is pleasing to God and somebody else seeing what you're doing and they have other things in their mind. Now, that's their problem. That's not your problem. Your problem is to please God. Their problem, you're not supposed to please anybody else. I mean, you can try, but your main goal is to please Him, okay? And if you try to please somebody else, you end up not pleasing God, all right? Therefore, if Jesus and God were one like your finger is one, as a Unitarian believe, then this statement he made concerning the devout nature of the Son of God would not make any sense, okay? Because how, if he was God like the people Unitarians believe, then how could he become anything? How could he become anything? And yet he learned obedience. Who's going to learn obedience to? I mean, he's God after all. You see, so who, the devil? He's going to learn obedience to the devil? Well, that's what 99% of people are. They learn obedience to the devil. Who's going to learn obedience to? He learned obedience to God. God is the only perfect one, and he became perfect when God entered into him. All right? Now, God cannot be godly. Why? Because it means godlike. And he's a source. He's not the reflected one, okay? Because he's God. Godly means to be like God. And the phrase to be like lets us know that the one spoken of here is not the one that to be like, but rather his actions and his ways are much the same as, okay? So if his actions and his character and his life is much like God, then he's godly. He's godlike, okay? Godly or godlike means to be devout, and God's word speaks of another and not of God himself. But since the Son of God was not God, then he could be godly or God-centered in his life. So this throws out all the theologians, all the theology that's in the message that is oneness-oriented. They've got to step back and say, how could his Brother Branham's words be right, and yet my theology is different, okay? So they need to take a look at what he says. Now, in paragraph 72, Brother Branham says, you say, is that so? Well, Mark 9 and 7 says, we find upon the mountain of transfiguration, when there stood Moses, the law, there stood Elijah and the prophets, okay? All the way back from the patriarchs, the fathers, the law, the prophets, and all of them standing there, we hear a voice coming down from the cloud and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And if they're going to hear, he's going to speak. He's got to speak. It was just a few days before he was smitten. This is my beloved son, whom I'm pleased to dwell in. I have molded him. I've been 4,000 years bringing him to this, and now he is so perfect, I've got to smite him so he can speak. Hear ye him. He's the perfected one. He is the masterpiece. Now, I'd like to stop here for a minute and examine something Brother Branham said concerning that relationship that God had with his son. Notice he quotes God as saying, this is my son whom I'm pleased to dwell in. I've molded him. I've been 4,000 years bringing him to this. Now just think, here is a glimpse into the relationship between the Father and the Son. He is telling us that God spent the past 4,000 years bringing his Son to this relationship of adoption. To what? To the place that he would enter his Son. Now, that may seem like heresy to many who believe Jesus and God were one like your fingers one. And that may seem like heresy to those who believe God was a committee made up of one called Father, another called Son, and still another called the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. It's a committee. Since one has got a committee, he's one, right? Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. I saw a film several years ago called God's Generals, William M. Branham, and after showing many clips from Deep Calls Unto the Deep and 20th Century Prophet, the man was going over the life of William Branham and said, William Branham was truly a prophet of God. But he went off when he forsook the gift that God gave him and tried to become a teacher. I almost have to laugh because the man doesn't even know what a prophet is. You know, I mean, do you think that the Lord who showed him all these things in their people's lives, the sign of Messiah were spoken through him, wouldn't tell him the doctrine also and wouldn't correct him if he got off? Give me a break. This man is just, you know, I'm sorry, but these theologians are actually stupid. And you know, there's no better word in our dictionary for what they are. You know, maybe a lot of people don't like the word stupid. Now, I can see if I said retarded, then people can say, well, there's people that are retarded. But I'm saying the word stupid because stupid is as stupid does, okay? And these people are really, really stupid. They don't think. They just expel out of their mouth a bunch of trash instead of, like the Bible says, all tables, all pulpits are full of vomit, okay? So I'm sorry but those were not original words this man was speaking. They were the same catchphrase every one of those Trinitarian ministers have used since Brother Branham was on the scene. It was very apparent while watching this film that many people believed in the gift that Brother Branham had while praying for the sick. Now, if the person who said this hadn't been theologically trained, hadn't listened to others, just came as a fresh heathen and saw the life of William Branham and the words of William Branham, he said, wait a minute, he's telling me truths from the Bible. I'll find those in the Bible. I'll search, okay? But they're not. Like Brother Branham said, you're better off coming to this message as a Catholic who really has nothing biblical, or a rank heathen who has nothing biblical, because then you don't have to purge your mind. You're open to whatever the prophet says, okay? But if you're Pentecostal, Baptist, or whatever, now you gotta purge all that Pentecostal training, all that Baptist training, and everything else, okay? But in that sense, they're no different from you and I in that they believe that that gift was from God and showed the presence of God in operation. But what sets us differently from them is that although we love the gift of God that was in the life of William Branham, we do not look at the gift as the end all. We look at the giver. Okay? Rather, that which got us to sit up and take note that this man was very different from all others and that God was definitely with him. And if so, then we ought to shut up and hear what this man has to tell us. Okay? And let's face it, it was not the discernment that is the issue. It's thus saith the Lord that's the issue. They all agree the discernment's right. They all agree the gift is right, but the thus saith the Lord. Wait a minute. We don't believe that. Why? You're calling God a liar. Because if you don't believe what God says, you're calling God a liar, okay? But the Pentecostal ministers don't want to shut up and listen. They live with an exalted opinion of themselves and their clan, okay? And because of that, they've completely missed God hiding himself in simplicity. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Voice of the Sign, and I love that message. He said, now the sign has a voice. And now every true God-sent sign has a voice, and that voice must speak according to the word that's given for that day just exactly. You see, if you have doctrine and you can't find it in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, throw it out. It's not true. It's got to be scriptural, all right? It has to have a scriptural voice, okay? If the voice comes to the same old voice of the same old, you see a sign rather, and the sign that the man's doing is the same old school of thought, then you can say right then that didn't come from God. In other words, if a man has a great charismatic ministry, even signs and wonders following, but he's still in the same old denominational thinking, that man's not even of God. And I can show you where Brother Branham said, any man that's a Trinitarian, he's a false prophet. So every time, you know, they talk about, well, I won't say the names, but you know, the big, great names, you know, they've made familiar around America. They're all false prophets, okay? That's what the prophet said. They are false prophets. If it keeps identifying the same old school of thought, it never did, it never was, it would be against God's program. It's got to be something new. In other words, back to the Bible, all right? It's got to be something that the people don't understand. It's got, or it wouldn't be. It don't need to be sent. If it's the same old school of theology, it's got to be something different, yet it's got to be identified in the word that it is for that day. See, the positives of God's word. It has to be. There's no slip-ups to it. It's got to be the truth. Got to be vindicated by God, the truth. Well, how does God vindicate? Huh? How does he vindicate? Is it because you did a miracle that now you're vindicated? Uh-uh. All the miracles Brother Bram did, that didn't vindicate him, because I've had the same and I'm not vindicated, okay? I haven't had all the same because he's had the sign of Messiah. What vindicated was thus saith the Lord. I don't have that. I don't have thus saith the Lord. I have thus saith the prophet of God, thus saith the word of God, but I don't have thus saith the Lord, because God didn't directly speak to me. He showed me in his word, or he showed me what the prophet said. So, the Bible says that in Deuteronomy 18, it says God will speak mouth to mouth, all right? He says if I have a dream, you know, if a prophet comes and he's a dreamer of dreams and vision, has visions and stuff like that, and even God speaks lip to ear, he said, but my servant Moses is not like that prophet. For him I will speak mouth to mouth. So you see, when God's prophet speaking to us, it's thus saith the Lord. It's God speaking to us. We should listen. Okay. And the man who speaks it has to be vindicated of God to be a seer from God, or it's wrong. They don't even see it at all. Don't even believe it. And again, he said in his sermon, voice of the sign. Now, the sign that is promised for the day is done before the people. And then the written scripture comes forth, is the voice of that sign. Let me read that again, because I know there's a lot of people that listen to tapes are going to disagree with this. But he said, now the sign that is promised for the day is done before the people. And then the written scripture comes forth, is the voice of the sign. What's the voice of the sign? Is it William Branham? No. It's the word. He said, I preach the same word Paul preached, okay? If it doesn't give a scriptural voice, then stay away from it. Now, didn't the Apostle Paul say, if a man or an angel from heaven preach anything other than what I've already preached, let him be cursed. If the angel of the Lord that came to Brother Branham gave him something that was off the word, that angel of the Lord would be cursed. You understand how severe the words of Paul are? That if the denominational headquarters says, well, this is right and this is wrong, William Branham's wrong, we're right, they're cursed. They are cursed. Wow. If it doesn't give a scriptural voice, then stay away from it. See, it's not of God. Because God can't promise this for today and say, well, this is it. See, God cannot do that. God cannot promise something for one day and say, no, it won't do that. That was for another day. What he promised, he must stay with. And the real scriptural sign is the scriptural voice. Don't ever forget, the voice of God is the scripture. Now, he might have used William Branham's voice chorus to bring the scripture to us, but that's just exactly what he did. He brought the scripture to us. From God, who is rich in mercy, Brother Branham says, now Moses was given two signs, and each sign had a voice. That's right. I preached on it here some time ago, somewhere, on the voice of the sign. It must have a voice of the sign. It's a changing. Always it's that way. If it isn't, then it didn't come from God. In other words, if he stays in his churchianity, he's not of God. He's just a person trying to build a congregation. Now, if a man comes out with an odd, peculiar ministry that's found in the Bible to be the truth, and that man stays right in that same old denominational doctrine, forget it. There's nothing to it. So he might come with signs and miracles. He might come with even people, they're blind, seeing the ear, you know, the deaf hearing. But if he's staying in that same denominational theology, he's not even of God. God don't do a thing like that. That thing, that's rotten manna that's got termites in it, or wiggle tails, or whatever you want to call it, from 40, 50 years ago, still trying to eat that old manna that fell way back years ago. And the children of Israel, on their journey, new manna fell every day. That's right. You couldn't keep it over. We don't live over some other age gone by. We're eating new manna, fresh manna out of heaven in our journey as we go. Now, Brother Branham, as long as he lived for his ministry for 33 years, he brought something new all the time, and something that revealed God's word in a deeper way to our hearts. Can you say amen to that? Brother Vail, in the 20 years that we have of his, actually from 63 through about 2012, so no, 2004, I'd say, about 40 years also, he was always opening, taking what Brother Branham already brought and revealing more and more and more and more. Now, my ministry's gone about 43 years now, and it's the same way. It's always something more and more and more and more and more. It's not, well, you know what? What I saw 40 years ago, I'm seeing today. No, it's what I saw 40 years ago. There's a lot more to it than what I saw 40 years ago. All right? In other words, it keeps opening and opening and revealing and revealing. Like I said to you before, if you listen to a tape of Brother Branham's 100 times, you hear 100 times you've heard it, you hear something else more and more. All right? That's beautiful. That's life. Because your heartbeat that you had 10 years ago doesn't do you any good today. The breath you took 40 years ago, 20, well, in your case, you know, 13 years ago or 12 years ago, you know, that was good for you then, but it's not good for you today, because if you breathe, if you're depending on that, it's like one man said, well, I haven't eaten for 40 years. Give me a break. You know, you don't eat, you die, okay? So I like especially what he said here on what sense would it be for God to send a sign amongst the people and then direct them into the same thing that they already have. Brother Vail put it this way. He said, if I'm sitting there eating porridge for my breakfast and a man come along and say, I got a message from God. And he said, what is it? He said, you're eating porridge. Come again. Well, when Brother Branham tells us there's a difference between the appearing and the coming, how many people stopped and said, wait a minute now? How many people, when they saw the prophet speak, they said, wait a minute now, that's different from what I've heard before. Let me examine that further. Let me study to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, because the word of God is good for what? It's good for doctrine. All right? And I remember Brother Vail telling us years ago concerning this. He said, yeah, I already read it. Frankly, I don't understand that mindset. When I came to the message, it was not because of the miracles. It was because of the doctrine. What attracted me was the doctrine. I saw miracles in the Catholic Church. I did. That didn't attract me to this message. The doctrine attracted me to this message. Miracles are nice to talk about and even nicer to have in your life, but they are not eternal. But the word is eternal and the word is life, and that's what we're feeding on. You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and yet he what? He died again. Moses and Elijah are going to be raised up and sent out over to Israel, and guess what? They're going to die again. It's not the miracles, brother, sister. It's the word. God is the word. You want to know God? Know his word, okay? Lazarus was raised from the dead, and Lazarus died again anyhow. But there's something about the doctrine that takes you out of this body, if at least for a moment, and you forsake all the troubles, and you are lifted into the presence of the Eternal One and given a glimpse of life to come. That's the beauty of the doctrine. The doctrine brings you rest. Miracles don't bring you rest, maybe for a minute, maybe for a day. They don't bring you rest. The doctrine settles your soul. Miracles don't settle your soul. The doctrine gives you peace, and it stimulates your mind and gives you a foretaste of the glory divine. It places you and lets you see your status with God and your state as a son of God. But healing, it comes and goes. I've seen people healed of cancer in the lung just die 6 months later from another kind of cancer in the brain. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, the voice of the sign, he also said, every true sign of God is followed by the voice of God. Now, if a man gives a sign in the country or any time, and that voice that he speaks behind isn't the word of God, then watch it. Don't believe it. If some old school, if a man gets up and says and shows a sign from God, and then the man's teaching in the same old theology that you've had all of these years never sent that, then God never sent that sign. Look back in the scriptures and see if it was. Search the scriptures. If the guy comes back and says, now, we all want to join this, it's been an old established affair, don't you believe it. We're going to go into that in just a minute. See? Now, don't you believe that. God always vindicates his sign. Signs from God always speaks of God's voice. What if this new pope comes forth with signs? The world will be sucked up right into it, swallowed right up. Oh, he's a man of God. And then he wants to bring you back into the same old thing? I don't think so. And if it's the same old school that you've had, why would he give a sign? You're already in it. He's trying to get you to that corner. Stop. A stop sign. Slow up. Look where you're going. You'll dump yourself off at the corner if you don't watch. There's a sharp curve, and it'll always be a sign there before you make this curve to keep you from wrecking up. How many driving down the road, you see those signs? All the time. That's one thing you have to teach your children, is read the signs, okay? A good road builder gives us signs, and we're traveling the road to glory, and if the sign speaks of the same old thing, it wasn't from God. So what if you got a sign on the road and it says, slow down and turn left, because there's a curve there. Then you go down and the sign says, slow down and turn left, but actually you can only go right. How many of you ever had your GPS tell you to make a right turn? And you make the right turn, he says, no, make the other right. I've had that done in England. I've had followed the GPS, and I looked on the GPS and I'm driving across grass. And for 100 miles, nothing but grass, and yet I see the road in front of me. Who are you going to believe? What you see or some computerized idiot? All right? And I'm saying computerized idiot because most of the so-called AI that we see today speak like idiots. You could say, you know, it'll ask you to verify something, and you say what it is, and they say, I didn't hear that. So you say it again, and he says, can you say it differently? And you say it again, and finally you just start shouting at the stupid phone because the AI is so bad that you don't think you're just going in a big circle, okay? But a road bill, a good road builder gives signs, and we're traveling the road to glory. And if the signs speak of the same old thing, it wasn't from God. God gives signs to attract the attention of his people. Signs are to attract the attention of God's people. God's signs is given to attract the attention of God's people. What is the purpose of a sign anyhow? Signs are always are a way of getting your attention that there is a turn in the corner coming up. Stop sign means that you have to stop or you might wreck. A sign that says slippery when wet means that the road is slippery when wet. So, well, that's only for the winter time. Well, try it in the rain and you might slide off the road if you're going too fast. And usually the road is where there are many turns and the sign shows many turns, but the Pentecostal world just doesn't understand this. They think stop means go and yield means full steam ahead. And slippery when wet means good riding and the road is straight ahead. And they're nuts, just plain stupid. That's a good word. It's in the dictionary, and that's all. so self-centered that they have left God out of the message of Pentecost. He's on the outside knocking, trying to get in, and they won't let the word come in. From the voice of the sign, Brother Branham said, to the elected they see it. Like the little woman with the pure heart in a defiled body, and the Pharisees with a pure body and a defiled heart. It condemned one and saved the other. Remember the story where Brother Branham drew on the board two circles? One had a white dot in it, and the other was, he filled in, it was all white except for this little black speck. He said, that little white speck in the woman turned her into a fully righteous person. But the all white, except for the little black speck in the Pharisees, turned them into God-rejecting people. And when they see God, when they see a God-sent sign, they look back in the scriptures and see if that's supposed to be there. Yeah, here it is. What is it? Pending judgment. Then the elected listens to the voice. How many are listening to the voice, or are they just having a jubilee in worship? How many churches spend more time on music than they spend on the Word of God? Now, I'd like to know. It might make you feel good, but it doesn't do anything for your soul. If you want to go to good music, go to a concert. Don't go to a church that's off the word, or they'll take your soul to hell with them. But the elected ignores and says nonsense. Go on. We'll take the same old school. That's the way they did in the days of Luther. That's the way they did in the days of Wesley. That's the way they do now. Way that they've always done, but it is a sign, and it has a voice that follows the sign. And the voice is identified as a scriptural voice. Now, don't forget that. I keep that going in because I may never see you again. I wish I had a way that I could come down here somewhere and get all my brethren, when they had no revivals going on, and put up a tent up. And just sent day after day and teach it till it really soaked in, but wouldn't permit that, I don't think. See, we're too close to the end. I believe that we're right at the end. Again, from the voice of the sign, he said, when a man raises up with a sign, the same old school of thought, there's something wrong. It isn't coming from God. Oh my, make his path straight now. Do you believe it? And from his sermon, Man Running from the Presence of God, he said, if a message goes forth, there's a sign, and there are signs and wonders, and you still see that same old school of thought that you come up with, that didn't come from God. God don't just have to do. Now listen, that's just like those Kentucky revivals, so to speak. People in the message ran down, we got to see it, we got to see it. Why? You know it's false. If the prophet said that there is no more revivals, and you go down, we got to see this revival. Hey, there's something happening. And yet they got the same old school of theology. Now, come on. How many people listen to the prophet? Or are they going by feelings again? And God is trying to get your attention attracted to something. And then when Jesus went down there, he started healing the sick and doing great works and things. He always did. He was Jesus. And Moses and Jesus done it, and the rest of them. And when he was here, he did it, and he's doing it the same today. When he sends forth a meeting like that, revivals and starts a meeting here on earth and starts them moving along with those great signs and wonders, and then you see it come back to that same old school of teaching, there's something wrong there somewhere. There's something new coming forth. And from his sermon, trying to do God a service, he said, we have false impressions rise up. What's that to do? It's to deceive. You see why, what was it, a year ago or 2 years ago? I got so mad about that. People thought I was having, you know, because of my stroke, I was angry. I wasn't angry because I was angry because people were being duped into thinking something was happening from God when it wasn't. It was a devil, because that thing spearheaded all across the nation. And oh, we're having a revival from God, and they're preaching the same old theology. When a vindicated prophet said, there's no more revivals, and they think there's going to be more revivals, they're disbelieving, thus saith the Lord. He said, we have false impersonators rise up. What's that to do? It's to deceive. The Bible said that they would, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these in the last days, see? They're the same thing. Come right along, also impersonating it, just exactly. Just be careful. Watch the doctrine of the Bible. Watch the message that follows them signs. Still the same old school of message? Forget it. God sent the miracles and signs to attract attention of the people. When Jesus come, just healing the sick and so forth. And so did the prophets. And they thought, oh glory, he's a coming. He's going to be a Pharisee. He's going to be a Sadducee. Oh, he'll be one of us. He'll be a UPC if we can get a hold of him. Well, he'll become Trinitarian if we can get a hold of him. But he said, you generation of serpents and vipers, said, you're of your father the devil. His works you do. And I'm here to say this morning that every denomination is of the devil. And I'll say one more, because I'm just quoting what Brother Branham said. The minute it organizes, it dies. He said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, there's no life in you. He didn't explain it. He didn't have to explain it. Hallelujah. That was for another season, He said what he had to say. I always do that which is pleasing to my Father, and that's keeping his word. If I don't, my life and my works don't compare with his word I'm supposed to do. Then don't believe me, I'm not him, but if it does, then believe the works if you can't believe me. And from his sermon, The Token, he said, now, when you see signs coming on and no message behind it, just the same old school of theology and on down, that wasn't from God. But where there's a sign showed, a message follows it. But these men who could believe that William Branham never missed on the discernment of the heart, and yet the Bible tells us the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. They should have said, this man has the Word. So how is he wrong in his theology? He's not. We're wrong. And if the discernment is 100% right, then the interpretation of the word must also be 100% right, or God is a hypocrite. God is not a liar, not a man that he could lie. But let's face it. Most of these imposters who fight Brother Branham on his teaching are nothing short of imposters worshiping an imposter three-headed God. Three-headed? Yeah. Talk about crazy theology, a God with three heads, or a God that's a committee of three. Well, you know what? I better check out with the Holy Spirit and the Son over here. I better have a conference with them before I say thus saith the Lord. Oh, brothers, sisters, that's stupidity incarnated in men today, all right? They're Trinitarians, and they don't realize they're Babylonian, Anu, Ea, and Enlil. Now, Brother Branham knew what he was talking about. Look at his words from his sermon, "Be Not Afraid." You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have faith in God. It's all over, brother. Just believe it now. We are strangers to one another. Now, that ought to settle it for the whole group of you. Does that confirm that I'm preaching the truth? How would God let me tell something wrong and stand up with my very message? These things are only to indicate a divine vindication that my theology is right. That's exactly right. The word of the Lord came to the prophets. What did? The word of the Lord. Did miracles come only to the prophets? No, they came to Jannes and Jambres. That's right. Came to others in the Bible. That's right. But the word came only to the prophets. Yeah. And from his sermon, blind Bartimaeus, he said, and in praying for the sick tonight, as we pray for the sick, the Lord may come to us and give the visions. And if he does, remember, the vision does not heal the people. The vision is only a vindication that the word is right. How many knows that the word prophet means? Sure you do. A prophet means one that foretells or forthtells, and it is a divine sign from God that this person that is speaking has the right interpretation of the divine word, because the word of the Lord came to the prophets. And the prophet foretold and done those things, which is a vindication that he had the interpretation of the divine word. So what I'm trying to get across here this morning is that God uses the signs and wonders to get your attention. That's all. Why? Because he is getting ready to turn a corner and bring something that is in the word, but has been hidden to men's understanding. But what comes as doctrine had better line up word by word with God's vindicated word, or forget it, flee from it. But if the signs go forth and the word comes, and the word does come, then it will be something new, as Brother Bram said, and you had better pay close attention, because if you miss turning that corner, you will crack up, because there is always warning before judgment. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, your word continues to open up to us. And Father, we believe it, as thus saith the Lord, your vindicated prophet, you vindicated him with thus saith the Lord. And he spoke only what the Lord has already said thus, which is what Paul said. So Lord, we just commit our understanding that everything must go through the channel of your prophet and prophets. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.